Hallelujah. Go ahead and be opening up to Luke chapter 1. Put a marker in Isaiah 55. I've got about 20 messages in me tonight, so I really have no idea which direction he's going to go. I don't see the young man that asked me the question here tonight, but somebody was asking me, I mentioned about Jim Martin has a message where he, from the Bible, he proves string theory is in the Bible. And I didn't have my phone with me last night. I'll just go ahead and tell it to you guys. And when I see him, I'll tell him. Hope I can find this okay. Yes, let's see. It's if you go to his website and Grace Christian Center, not the Bible, he has two things. He has the Bible College and then Grace Christian Center. Okay, you have to go to Grace Christian Center. Then he has these volumes of... Maybe Jim is prolific. He has lots of stuff. But it's volume 10, message number 18, and it's a message on string theory. But I don't see the young man that asked me, but when I see him, I'll give it to him. Okay. Very interesting stuff. Did anyone not see the hula hoop demonstration? Can I see your hand? Got one. Man. All right. Well, I'm not going to go through it again this way. But I mean that way. But I am going to remind us what it is. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Then we'll come back to Luke in a minute. Isaiah 55. This has been one of my favorite verses forever, where God talks about His thoughts being higher than our thoughts. And let's just read it. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And, you know, I thought I've understood that verse, and we've all understood it to a certain depth forever. But then recently, somebody gave me a book called The Fourth Dimension and the Bible, and it's a math. I have an engineering degree. I like mathematics, and this one just pushed my buttons just the right way. I mean, and what this fellow did, he just went to basic math and started drawing analogies between it and the Bible. So we have a little pretend universe. If you could imagine a world that does, you know, our world has three dimensions, right? We have length, we have width, and we have height. If you could imagine a one-dimensional world that only has length, they have no concept of width, no concept of height at all. Not, there's nothing they could even relate to. You try and start talking to them about something wide, and they go, "What?" There's nothing in their universe. So, and when I do this demonstration, we had a line across here, and I would walk up and down the line. It's called line land. That's all you can do. You can go forward, you can go backward. There is no left, there is no right, there is no up, there is no down. Just this little guy in line land, and he's very happy, you know, He went to Lineland University. He understands all the physics of Lineland. He went to Lineland Seminary. They told him what was possible with God. And everything is fine until one day he's going along Lineland and he comes to an obstacle in the road. But he can't go left. There is no left. There is no right. Not in his universe. He's come up against an impossible situation. There's only forward and backward in Lineland. There is nothing else. Well, what am I going to do? This is impossible. And in this demonstration, I have somebody else come up who lives in flatland. Flatland is like a sheet of paper. You not only have length, you have width. Now, there's no height. You got that? Okay. Well, the guy in flatland, he understands left and right. So he's watching this poor fellow with this dilemma. He can't get past this problem here. He just keeps butting up against it, you know. So the guy comes, and all he does, he just gets a hold of this fella and just takes him to the right. Moves him around. By the way, when he does that, as soon as he leaves the line, to everybody else in line land, that guy disappears. He left their universes. Everything that's possible in line land, he just left it. Reminds me of a verse. And Enoch was not. For God took him, right? See? Okay? So it takes him right around the obstacle, puts him down on the other side, and everybody in line land, it's a miracle. He disappeared. He reappeared. We don't know what happened. They can't see the guy from Flatland, you know. Well, the guy from Flatland, it was the simplest thing ever. They're calling it the miracle of the ages, and he's going, duh. You know, just But see, then the guy in Flatland, he lives like where there's length and there's width, so he can navigate all around, everything is fine, until he comes up to an obstacle like a circle, and he can't get past that circle. Now, I'm really going through this quick, okay? Well, somebody in a three-dimensional world would just come and lift him up, see? You could say it this way, the Flatland guy, his ways are higher than the Lineland guy. The three-dimensional world, his ways and his thoughts are higher than the Flatland guy. Well, we live in a three-dimensional world. But see, God lives in a realm that's higher than here. What is possible there, yes, sir. Go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is a perfect illustration of this verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. By the way, this is a new Bible. Nothing is on the right place on the page. I hate getting a new Bible. But I got up to Washington. I was trying to preach up there, and I opened my Bible, and I had lost all of creation. Chapter 1 and 2 of Genesis fell out. I mean, I couldn't have a Bible that starts with the curse, you know, chapter 3. So I had to buy a new Bible. See, this is the perfect illustration of 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, what he's talking about there is the natural man who's not born again, the guy who's his whole experience, he does not have a spirit yet that's of God. He has the spirit of the world. He's just a normal human born on planet Earth. He's got the fallen nature passed down from Adam that everybody has when they're first born. And so he understands the things of the world. That's why Jesus would teach in parables. He would tell them about, consider the lily. Think about the birds of the air. He would use examples that the natural man could understand. In fact, hold your place there. Again, he's building a lesson that I wasn't intending. John 16. At the moment here, when Jesus is preaching right here to John, John 16, this is before the cross. Now, it's just hours before the cross. He's getting ready. We're getting really close to him going. But so the disciples have been with him for three and a half years at this point, but they're not born again. Now, he has taught them, but at this moment, they're like that person over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. They don't have the Spirit of God in them yet. They've still got that Adamic spirit. Now, for 3 years, I'm trying to put myself in Peter's spot. You know, Peter has listened to every sermon that Jesus has preached for 3 years, and you know Jesus preached the same message again and again from city to city and things, so you think you've got it, right? And then look what Jesus says he said it to them all, but I always think about Peter right here. Look at verse 12, John 16, 12. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, we all know Peter, right? Don't we relate with Peter? Peter was the one that was, he was bold enough to ask the questions. The rest of them were too religious to ask. You know, he'd say, we left everything to follow you. What are we going to get out of it? I like Peter. I can just imagine Peter. Jesus says to him, I have many things yet to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And Peter's going, Lord, I'm standing right here. Say on, Lord. What do you mean I can't receive them now? I mean, I can't bear them now. What? Go ahead and tell me now. And he's prophesying to them. See, Jesus knows that soon they are going to be born again. Pretty soon they are going to have a capacity to understand things of the God, things from another realm that the natural man has no way of knowing. It is exactly like the Lineland guy. He can see the effects of what the Flatland guy did for him, but there's nothing in him. There is nothing that even has a concept of Flatland. The Flatland guy, he can understand the miracle of the one that came and lifted him up and set him over into the circle. He can tell about the miracle that happened, but there's nothing in him that could conceive of how that really happened. What are the mechanics, you see? Well, that's really what's going on here. He says, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Man, he is prophesying. He is prophesying of what's coming. You're going to receive. Now, keep your place right there. Okay, we're coming back. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 11, he's talking about the natural man there. He says, what? Well, let me back up. Yeah, verse 9. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man. And there you could put the natural man. That's who he's talking about. The person with the spirit of the world in him. Just like Peter and the 12, even though they're following Jesus, they've not been born again yet. It's not entered into their heart, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I'm telling you, this is all coming so much more alive in me since he's shown me that demonstration of the hula hoop. The things he has prepared for us, I feel more like a flatlander. It's like we're going to have to expand our thinking. We're going to have to back off with our mind. Yes, sir. I've got another demonstration. I don't think it's quite yet tonight. But we're going to have to back off. Our mind is going to have to back off and let my spirit be taught by my Father. The things that really belong to me. I'm tired of Mr. Fathead being in the way here. Amen. See, the earth head. I'll go ahead and do it now. Okay. I just need something. When I hold, for benefit of those that can't see what I'm doing, I'm telling you, these messages anymore, they're going to have to be videoed or something. They're just better seen than heard. I've got a basket here, and I just need something as big as my head. See, what Jesus was talking about there, he's going, see, when I hold this basket up like this, and what I'm doing for benefit of those that can't see, I'm just holding this basket up and it covers my head. I'm going to call this guy Earth Head. This is the natural man. When I'm holding this up where it's covering my head, that's the natural Gary. That's my soul. Even after I'm born again, my soul gets in the way. It wants to be bossed. Does your soul ever want to be boss? My soul, you know. Did you ever notice when you got born again, your soul didn't? You got the same memories and all that same stuff, you know, and it's got to be renewed. See, God rebirthed our spirit. That's instantaneous. Now, it does mature. But your soul has to be renewed. The soul is the mind, the intellect, the memories. Emotions are a lot involved. Their strongholds are usually in the soul, you know. And then we have a physical body. Thank God you prophesied about that glorified body. I'm looking forward to that one, okay. But anyhow, when he's talking to Peter here, Peter has still got his earth head. And so Jesus is saying, look, earth head, I have taught you many things. There's many things I've said to you, but I've brought you as far as I can as long as you have an earth head. Until there's a spirit on the inside of you that's born of God, you can't understand the things of God. Okay, I'll be using this more as we go along. So you're 1 Corinthians 2 again. I read verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, earth head eye. Eye hath not seen, ear heard, neither has entered into the heart, the natural heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, right there, I want you to think about the illustration. Think about the hula hoop thing. Think about the earthlander. He had things prepared for the flatlander that the flatlander has no way to even think about. There are operations possible with the help of earthlander that flatlander can't even conceive of. That's where we are right now. We're earthlanders with a heavenly Father, and the thing of it is, we're not really earthlanders anymore. In our spirit, the real us is from God. Yes. That is home. You know what this book is? This is news from home. This is the real truth right here. This is the truth from where we're really from. See? And he says it right here. He says, verse 10, he says, yeah, that knowledge is not entered into the natural man, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, I know it's got a capital S there. God is not in the business of searching himself. That's a little S. That should be a little S. He's talking about he's put a spirit on the inside of you that is able to seek out. You can go as far into God as you want to. You can find out mysteries. It's really up to you. Have you noticed the Holy Spirit does not get tired praying in other tongues? Have you noticed? You know, have you noticed he says, would you please quit meditating? I'm tired of helping you meditate today. I've noticed the Holy Spirit never gets tired like that, see? No, it's not him, it's us, it's our spirit. And we can search out these deep things. That should be a little less in both cases there. So verse 11, what man, natural man, knows the things of a man save the spirit of the man which is in him? Well, that's the Romans 7 guy. He's going, I wouldn't even have known it's wrong to covet. See, you only know what you are. The guy who's not born again, he's got a sin nature. He said coveting's wrong. Who knew? I wouldn't have known coveting. Coveting is natural. See? He says that the spirit of man that's in him, how can you know beyond what you are? But even so, the things of God knows no man, but the spirit of God. And again, that should be a little S. Now we have received. When he says now, he's talking about now that you're born again. Now we have received, and they got it right here, not the spirit of the world, little s, that's correct. The spirit of the world is the one that everybody's born with when they're born of their mother's womb. It's the spirit passed down from Adam. It's that fallen nature. But now that you've been born again, you've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit, little s, correct, which is of God. You got a spirit on the inside of you that is not of this world. That's the real child of God. That spirit on the inside of you has got a mind. There's a spirit mind inside your natural mind. You know when the rich man and Lazarus died, do you remember that? Their bodies are both in the grave. And the rich man, where did he wind up? He was in hell. Where was Lazarus? Abraham's bosom. So here we've got a spirit soul. One's in hell. One's over in paradise or Abraham's bosom. The spirit man, Dave teaches on this elaborately in his lessons. He says the rich man, he could see Abraham. He knew who Abraham was. He could see Lazarus. He knew who Lazarus was. He says, could you have Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water that he could come and touch my tongue? Now, wait a minute. Their bodies are in the grave, both of them. So you mean a spirit? I like how Dave says it. We know from that lesson that a spirit at least has a tongue, tips of fingers. Isn't that right? And eyes, because he could see. You know? He says, you reckon if our spirit has a tongue, tips of fingers, and eyes, and a mind that could recognize people, you reckon it might have all the other parts too? Sure. We're an entire being. You have a spiritual mind. Let's say it this way. Your spirit has a mind, and that mind can be taught the things of God. Over here, go back to John. Here, okay, keep your place. Back over to John 16, when he says, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, what he's talking about there is, once you get this new spirit on the inside of you, you need a teacher from that realm that you're really from to teach you how to function here with the power that's available from there. Sorry, I need to go pray in tongues. I'll be back later. I'm telling you, it has made me, I was already pretty determined about praying in other tongues, but it's like it's put steroids on it now. And praying in tongues, I'm going, oh my goodness, I've been wasting time. You know, this is available? Okay, let's keep going. Can you tell I'm excited about this? My Bible is brand new. I might as well tell you. All of a sudden, everything, verses that I've loved, simple verses like in Matthew 6 where it says, seek you first, the kingdom of God. All of a sudden, it's live. It's like I've never read it before. I mean, he's talking about opening the blind eyes. Seek you first, the kingdom of God. He is talking about live holy and all of the things. Thank God for the renewing of the mind that we've had to this point. But I am telling you, compared to where we're going, the analogy I like is, if we're in the South, right? Y'all like sweet tea down here, right? You know, Man, if we got a big hot day and you got a big old tall glass of sweet tea full of ice cubes, compared to what's coming, what we've had so far is like licking the top ice cube. It's about all we've done is lick the top ice cube compared to that tall drink we're about to take. We're about to go into things that from God's point, and from God's, the world will be going, ooh, and God's going to be kind of like the Flatlander. Oh, brother. I've been telling you this is normal kingdom business from the beginning. You know, this is just normal business, opening blind eyes and the deaf hear and that type. You know, it's just normal. And we're, whoo, well, anyway. So verse 13 of John 16, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Now see, the Holy Spirit didn't come to be their teacher until after they were born again. He says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Tarry here. Don't go running off. Tarry here till you receive that Spirit. So they get born again. Then the Holy Spirit comes, and now they've got a teacher like they've never had before. Okay, back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again. Verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That's talking about that new nature, that's child of the living God that's on the inside of you. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Now, what did he say over in John 16? When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For what he's really saying there is, look, I brought your natural mind as far as I can. You're going to receive a new spirit, and you're going to receive a new teacher. That teacher is the Holy Ghost, and he's the one that teaches your new nature how to function here as a child of God from there. I'm getting some kind of something. We don't have any idea. Okay. And notice comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, if you've never heard Dave's series on Chuck the Duck, how many don't know what I mean when I say Chuck the Duck? You don't know what I mean? You do. Okay, everyone knows about Chuck the Duck? Boy, you've done a good job here, Pastor. There's not a hand going up. Every one of them knows. Well, review quickly. You know, Chuck the Duck was raised by chickens. You know, Chuck the Duck, you know, he thought he was a chicken. Everybody kept telling him he was a chicken. He would notice that, you know, he was having difficulty functioning as a chicken. You know, they'd all go pecking the ground with their little sharp beaks, and they'd be getting worms and stuff, and he'd try and thunka, thunka, thunka with that bill, thunka, thunka. You know, he's having a hard time, you know, with it. And every time he'd go by the water, that there was a lake, every time he'd go by the pond, something in him kept drawing him over towards the water, you know. And Mama Chicken would just peck him and peck him. Don't you go near that. You're a chicken. Don't you even go near that water. Chickens don't go near the water, you know. Well, he was just surviving a duck in a chicken world. And the analogy, I'll just go ahead and tell you now, child of God in a religious world. Yeah, okay. Here you are. He's really a duck, but told he was a chicken until one day a duck landed on the pond. And that duck says, hey, come over here and join me. He says, no, I'm a chicken. I can't go in the water. And the duck's looking at him like, what? You're not a chicken, you're a duck. No, I know I'm a chicken. I've been raised by chickens. I've been told I'm a chicken. I only can do chicken things. So the duck, trying to educate Chuck, he starts comparing duck things with duck things. He says, look, can you see me in the water? Yes, I see you in the water. Look at my bill. See my bill? See it? See how it's flat? Look at your bill. Look at yours. Is your bill like mine? Comparing duck things with duck things. He said, look at your feet. My feet are webbed for being in the water. Do you ever notice your feet? Look at your feet. He's looking at his feet. They're webbed like, yeah. Comparing duck things with duck things. See, the Holy Spirit, religion's going to keep telling you, you're just a slimy dog worm. You're an old sinner saved by grace. You were an old sinner. You got saved by grace, but religion will keep telling you that's who you are. You're not changed. You're just na-na-na-na-na-na. Who do you think you are? And all of that kind of stuff. And the Holy Spirit's going, wait a minute. Let me start comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Do you see Jesus? looking unto Jesus. He was born of God. What does the word say about you? To those that believed, he gave them power to become sons of God. He says, well, you've got a, Jesus had a new nature in him. He was born again. Let's see now. What do you have on the inside of you? When you received him, you were born again. Well, yeah, but Jesus, you know, he was anointed by the Holy Ghost. He says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, he begins comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Say, you're not a religious person. You're not that same old person just forgiven. You are a child of the living God. And he has you looking unto Jesus. And Jesus says, the works that I do, you will do also. See, with Chuck the duck, the goal eventually, that duck kept comparing spiritual with spiritual with spiritual, and Chuck inched a little closer to the water. And the duck kept talking with him, and he'd inch a little closer to the water. Finally, Chuck, he gets in the water, and that was great. I mean, the chickens are all yelling from the shore, you'll drown, you'll drown, you can't do that. But here he is, he's splashing around in the water, you know, and even that wasn't good enough. The duck says, follow me, boy. Follow me. And that duck, he starts flapping those wings and flapping. You know how they go across the water? And Chuck's right behind him, flapping and a flapping and a flapping. And everybody on the shore is going, it's impossible. You're a chicken. And all of a sudden, both of them, they take off. And I'm telling you right now, God's people are about to lift off and fly. You hear me? We're about to lift off. We've heard enough of religion, enough of people telling us what we can't do. Jesus says, all things are possible to him that believeth. Hallelujah. All things are possible. We've got to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We have been born of his Spirit, anointed by the Holy Ghost, empowered to do the same works. It's all ours. If we're willing to possess the land. The analogy is from the Old Testament. Though the land is full of giants, the land is full of strongholds, but it's ours. God's given it to us. Those strongholds is false doctrine, wrong thinking, strongholds in yourself, you know, inferiority complex, whatever it might be. We have got someone that helps us pull those strongholds down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we'll cast them down, pull them down, and possess the land, and Immokalee shall be saved. Do you hear me? Immokalee shall be saved. The world has not yet seen the true sons of the living God. Now, we're not talking weird kingdom now, manifest. There's all kinds of, you know, people have tried to get here before. God bless them. And it's easy. I'm telling you, it's easy to get one degree off. That's why I thank God for accountable men like Bronk. We talk to each other and say, look, if you hear me say something that's off, let's talk. Don't let me get 5 miles off and then let's talk. You know, it's when I'm one degree off, let's talk, you know. And we're accountable to each other. And I count on him and Jim Martin and Pastor Dave and Tim and others, you know. And because it is, I mean, the devil is pretty, you got to give him his due. He's pretty good at what he does. He's been getting people off, and nobody intends to get off. Yeah, who was the guy? Jim Jones? Yeah. Drank the Kool-Aid in Guyana years ago. Yeah. See, Norval Hayes, I heard Norval do a service one time. He knew Jim Jones in the early days and would preach with Jim Jones, and he said that guy was right on, man. He loved God, had miracles in his meetings. Jim had preached it with Norval. Norval had preached with Jim. But over time, they kind of lost track of each other. And he says, man, that guy, he didn't set out to create mass murder. He didn't start out intending to get off like that. But he got off. And how it happens, you get isolated. And you get a little bit off, and there's nobody there to help you. And then you get a little more off, and pretty soon you're miles off. And that's what's happened. So we've had all these movements get off and go into nothing. Bless God, I thank God for Pastor Dave, who really got us praying in the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost, now if you start getting off, there is an unction that we have from the Holy One. He'll get on your case in a big way and in a hurry to keep you from getting off like that. Amen? This is good stuff. Are y'all liking this? All right. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Then he says it plain. the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Now that's exactly what Jesus was telling them over there in John 16:12. I have many things yet to say unto you, but you just cannot bear them now. Why? Because you have no spirit in you to be taught. See, that's why really to the natural man, there's no point trying to answer all their questions about God. There's only one message for the unsaved person, and that is Christ and Him crucified. Until they're born again and have a spirit that's of God, there's no point trying to teach them the things of God. It's foolishness to them. You could even see that in the same chapter, back up to, in chapter 2 to verse 1. Who was it that led these Corinthians to Christ in the first place? It was Paul. He was the apostle to them. He plainly says, you are my apostleship, you know, the proof of it. Look what he says to them. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the only message for the unbeliever. You must be born again. Once you get them born again, then now they have a spirit on the inside of them that can be taught of God. Okay. Let me finish up this little passage I love. This is one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. Verse 14 again of 1 Corinthians 2. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Now, neither can he know them. You beat your brains out trying to explain stuff to not. They will, you know what they love? They love to line you up with 42 questions a day and wear you out trying to answer their questions. And it's absolutely a waste of time. They cannot know them. They cannot. But why? Because they are what? Spiritually discerned. He that is spiritual, and that means taught by the Spirit, maturing in the Spirit, he is able to judge or discern all things. Yet he himself is judged of no, you could put natural man there. People are going to think you're strange. Face it, they already do. Well, where we're going, they're going to think you're even stranger yet. But they will know where to go when they need to get healed. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do we have the mind of Christ? Because the Holy Spirit teaches us the mind of Christ. That's how you have it. Okay. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, I think it is. I think I put a marker back there. Hallelujah. Oh, further back. Yep. This, again, these illustrations of understanding line land, flat land, earth land, and heaven land. So many of the messages that I've taught in the past now, they're coming alive to me in a new way, more real than I ever thought before. A message that he gave me years ago is called Servants Upon Horses. How many of you have heard that or know what I'm talking about? It's from this verse right here. Solomon was writing a lot of things in this book, and he said something here that for years I didn't understand. He says in verse 7, in fact, let's back up a little bit, verse 5, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun. It's as an error which proceeds from the ruler. I hear pages turning. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Okay, verse 6 says, folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. But the one that got me was this one. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. And I thought, what in the world, you know? Pray in tongues, assimilate, you know. One day the Holy Spirit got it across to me. See that prince there? Originally, man is made in the image of God. You can read it in Genesis 3 times in 2 verses. God emphasized, in the image of God made he man. Well, God is a spirit. When God originally made man, he made man a spirit. And man was, spirit man, supposed to have dominion. The mind, or we could say for today's lesson, the soul was supposed to be the servant of the Spirit. In today's world, we would talk about a laptop being a good tool. A laptop is supposed to be my servant. A laptop is not supposed to rule my life. A laptop is supposed to serve me. But what has happened at the fall, when man fell, when man became a sinful creature in his spirit, it's a good thing the mind took ascendancy. Otherwise, everybody would have been Hitlers. You know, what we have to do with our children is put an artificial conscience in them until they can be born again. So we, in the mind and in the soul, we teach them, don't you lie. If you lie, you'll get a whipping. If you steal, you get a whipping. Isn't that the way we do it? Well, nowadays you can't give them whippings. You'll have a timeout. In my day, it was you get a whipping. You know? But what he's saying here, he saw the dilemma of man. This is the whole dilemma of the fallen man. The spirit, the prince that God originally intended for man to walk uprightly before him, he had become the servant. The horse represents your life. That's the path your life is on. And who's got the reins? Who's sitting on the horse? The servant. And that's the soul. Now, that's one thing for the spiritually dead man, and that's pretty well okay. But once we get born again, that soul is supposed to come down off the horse. And our spirit man, the one that's taught of God, the one that's born of God, our spirit man is the one that's supposed to get up and be in charge now and take the reins of that horse. And as our spirit is taught by the Holy Spirit, that's how we get the direction for our life, spirit to spirit. And the servant, our soul, our mind, our intellect, our emotions is supposed to be running alongside. Yes, Master, what would you have me do for you? It's like a calculator. I want you to compute this and order supplies for that. God says we're going to send cassettes free around the world. Order cassette tapes. Okay, that's the way the mind is supposed to be. But the real dilemma, I'm just going to talk about me and not you. And I don't know exactly how to illustrate this, all right? If you'll allow me, God is over there. I don't know, somewhere. He's wanting to communicate to his real son. His real son, Gary, is a spirit. Okay? That's the part of me that the Holy Spirit is trying to train. And he's trying to train me how to function here to do kingdom of God business. Not build a church necessarily, not have a ministry necessarily, but the same kind of end result that we see with Jesus' ministry, where the people get saved, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, all of the, what God would call normal kingdom business. Okay? And he's trying to train this new spirit on the inside of Gary. But see, now every time I put this basket up on my head, how about this? Does that work? Every time I do this, okay, I can't. This is better. Every time I do this, that's my soul. That's the servant who's jumping up here, and it wants to be in charge. Now, here's something scary. I saw this years ago. My spirit man itself, did you know it likes to pray in tongues? It loves the fellowship. My spirit. You think Chuck enjoyed the fellowship with the duck? Man, finally truth, you know, setting him free. You think your spirit doesn't enjoy the fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Who is it that gets tired after about 5 minutes? Earthhead, fathead boy here. My soul, Gary's soul, it's going, well, this is boring. I don't even understand what Shandala Bakosa. No, I don't understand anything they're saying. I should have brought Field and Stream, something, you know. Shandala Bakosa, you know, I'm not understanding a bit of this, you know. It's so used to being in charge of my life. It keeps getting in the way. It gets bored. Okay. It's worse than gets bored. It doesn't want to relinquish control.
Yes.
Same. Yes, sir. All right. Okay, hang on. I can't help it when he switches the lessons. I've got all this stuff I brought with me, but I have to follow him through these. Okay. All right. I think he wants to do this now. Hang on. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. going to be close to James chapter 1. You can put a Peter. You can put a Peter. You can put a marker there. 1 Peter chapter 5. Boy. I remember when he first linked these two passages up to me. And now, again, everything he's taught me is new again, because I see it in a light that's going to take us beyond anything we've walked in before, okay? Is this not one of our favorite verses, 1 Peter chapter 5, when it says, verses 5 and 6, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Haven't we heard wonderful lessons about that? Dave, I think, does one of the best lessons on earth. You know, he talks about those early days when they'd have those altar calls, and I've been in those services too. Come on, they'd teach about this, and then at the end, come on down to the altar. Just leave your cares at the altar. Cast the whole of your cares upon him. And I've gone down there, and sometimes, you know, you're crying and slinging snot and everything, you know, and you're doing your best. And when you left there, maybe you felt a little free. You know, okay, I left my cares at the altar. And then Dave says, but you're driving home, and you're driving a Volkswagen, and your cares are driving a Ferrari. You get back home and wham, they're back on you again, you know. And haven't we had lessons like that, see? Well, then one time the Holy Spirit, during assimilation, he connected this up with another real familiar passage over here in James chapter 1 that says, hang on here. I did not really know we were going here. Look at verse 5. Again, and everything's in the wrong place on the page. Don't you hate it when you get a new Bible? "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Now, what he did, he linked up these two passages, okay? I want to cast all my care upon the Lord. And normally we just think about, okay, I'm done, I cast it. But see, if you're really going to cast your care on the Lord, you go, Lord, what do you want to do about that care? What is it that you want to do? Is there wisdom? Is there something I should do? I know what earth wisdom says to do about that care. I'm asking you, does heaven have any wisdom about that care, see? And so what I started finding is, I started researching this in the Bible. Here's the problem. When God starts giving his wisdom, it's very much like the flatlander talking to the Linelander. It's very much like the earthlander talking to the flatlander. We'll say something like, what would the earthlander say to the flatlander? He'd say, step over it. And the flatlander goes, but that's impossible. No, just step over it. But that's impossible. The mind of what is, how do I say it? The mindset that has been trained by flatlander physics cannot receive the wisdom that comes from God. It has to be spiritually discerned. You have to have a spirit from earthland living in flatland in order to obey earthland instructions. Did I say it right? Now watch. So here's some examples. God, I have a tax problem. I don't know what to do, God. It's April 14th and a half. At midnight tonight, I got to send it in. God, I don't know what to do. I don't have money for my taxes.
I'm asking wisdom. I'm not going to waver. Whatever you tell me to do, that's exactly what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to do exactly what you tell me. I'm listening for your wisdom. God says, well, send an associate fishing and use the money that he finds in the first fish's mouth and use that to pay your taxes. Do y'all remember? You remember when they come? Does your master pay taxes? Yes. And Peter was going to go in and get the money. Jesus said, no, don't use the money. Go fishing. Take the first fish. There'll be money in its mouth. Just use that money. But if we'd been asking, God, what do I do, God? Go fishing. Suddenly. You said, what? That's crazy, God. I'm not going to do that. You want me to do what? See what happens? The soul, the part that's not been renewed, the part that's used to being in charge. And we don't wind up doing it. And we wind up solving our own problems, going into debt and whatever. Here's another one. God, I have a friend. Now, I thought tonight was going to get into Luke 11 more, which we did that up at Loretta's. Luke 11, where the man's wanting bread for a friend. See, it's one thing to need a miracle for yourself, and God's not, I mean, he's fine with you getting your own miracle. But eventually, hopefully, we're going to grow as ministers, and our mindset goes from I need my miracle. God, I need a miracle for Homer, okay? We can all relate with that right now. Wouldn't we like bread for Homer? You got you? Okay, so that's the mindset of Luke 11, okay? And so I need to work a creative miracle. Homer needs a miracle, God, or whoever it is that we're praying for. So here we go again. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I'm coming to you, God. My friend needs a miracle. I need to know what to do, God. He's blind. I don't know what to do. Now, he doesn't say the same thing every time, but in this case, he said, oh, okay. Okay. Now, he's talking to his son, not Fathead. He's talking to his son, and he says, spit on the ground, make mud, put it on the man's eyes, and then send him to the Lake Trafford, and wash it, and he'll see. And Fathead goes, what? You want me to what? Spit on the ground? Make mud, put on... No, God. No. Can you see where I'm coming from? We had a testimony. The lady couldn't... was it Friday night? We was up in Ocala. And I was there a year ago. God told me to do something I did not want to do. I'm telling you, it's a miracle that Fathead didn't override this. I'm praying for people, and there's this nice, refined, cultured lady, every hair in place, just a little sweetheart, probably what, my age, I don't know, you know, roughly 67 or so, and a nice, refined lady. She's in the line, and God says, stick your finger in her mouth. You think Fathead didn't show up? I'm telling you, on the outside, I'm trying to be all faith man. On the inside, I'm going, no, God, I'm not going to do that. Are you crazy, God? I'm not going to stick my finger in this woman's mouth. Are you crazy? Right in front of all these people? I'm not going to do that, God. See, you never tell about that part. On the outside, it's, But I've been at this long enough, and I did kind of apologize when I did it. I said, lady, I hope you'll forgive me for this. I'm just doing my best to obey God. Sue's right there too. Sue's watching. And I opened her mouth and I just laid my finger, didn't I? Right, you were there, right? Laid my finger right on her, right inside her mouth, on her tongue. And I said, in Jesus' name, do your work. I didn't even know what he was doing. I just knew what he said. Oh, I'm so glad to move on to the next person after that. And she was real nice about it. And we all went to IHOP later, and she was real kind, you know. I had lipstick on my finger and everything. Now, y'all were there. You heard the testimony. She couldn't come this year, but she told Loretta to be sure and tell me. What I didn't know, for years, she has had constant sores in her mouth. After that night, the sores have been reduced by about 80%. 80%. I don't know why. I don't know why he said that. Why did he tell Jesus to spit on the ground, make mud, and put it on the guy's eyes? You know? We're going to have to get, when God's wisdom, see, we just thought casting your care upon the Lord and walk off. No. Then cast your care by asking him, what do you want to do? What's your wisdom? All right, here's another one. How do you make money in the fishing business? Well, according to Peter, first off, you do everything opposite to the traditional wisdom. Y'all remember the incident when they'd fished all night? They had done it. I mean, these guys made their living out there. It's not like these guys don't know what they're doing. They fished all night and didn't catch nothing. So now here comes the wisdom of God. So here's how you do it. Well, fish in the day instead of at night. And they're going, first off, nobody does it that way. Nobody here does it that way. You fish at night. That's how you catch fish here. No, fish during the day. I want you to cast your net on the opposite side of the boat from the tradition that your fathers taught you. Do it just exactly the opposite. Now, don't wait. Do it right now, even though you just finished putting in 12 hours fishing all night with no results. Do it right now, and do it in the same location where you caught nothing. You said, what? You got fathead. Here we are again. God's trying to communicate to his children. He's trying to deliver the wisdom from another realm. And fathead gets in the way. I'm telling you, every time that your mind overrides your spirit and talks you out of praying in other tongues, fathead won again. I'm preaching to Gary right now. Fathead won again. That's enough of that. Godzilla's playing. You know, whatever the current movie is at the time, you know, Godzilla's on, you know. And you pray or go watch Godzilla. Well, I probably will watch Godzilla, but anyway. This wisdom, I'm telling you, this illustration, all of a sudden it's all new again. He is trying to get us to function, and our minds are no different than the Linelander and the Flatlander. We keep trying to tell him what's possible from such limited minds, such a low realm. And he's going, can you trust me? Put your finger in the woman's mouth. And I have no idea why. And it doesn't matter why. What matters is she got 80% better healing. That's what matters. I don't know why she didn't get 100. Maybe I didn't stick it far enough. I don't know. I didn't hear him say swirl or anything like that. I would have, I guess. You know? Hey, wait till you start hearing him. I want to hear your stories, okay? I want to hear your stories, all right? I told last night, if you weren't here last night, you got to hear the one about the lady, the 5-year prophecy. Yeah, 5 years. He could have told me that I didn't miss it, but he didn't, you know. Anyway, listen to last night. Are we doing okay here? Are you understanding this? He's trying to talk to us. And I am convinced he's been doing this for years, trying to get across to us these simple things. See, and I don't have any choice but to give you examples from my life, and I am a minister, but I'm telling you, it's not going to be different at the Walmart. He's going to say, walk over and lay your hands on that person's eyes. Get permission first, but ask him, can I lay my hands on your eyes and pray? Or, now, hopefully, he's not going to have you too often go over and go, come here. Yeah. I'm not. But I don't know what he's going to do. Who knows, you know? Or how about this one? Okay, I want God, I'm asking your wisdom. I got a friend that's deaf. Lord, I need to know your wisdom. What do you want me to do, you know? Of course, what we want is just go over to them, lay your hands on their ears, and say, open in Jesus' name. And a lot of times, that's what you do. But then one time with Jesus, had a person with a deaf ear. The wisdom comes back. We'll go cast the devil out of them. But it's the mayor. But it's my boss. But it's my wife. What I'm trying to say is it might not be your natural wisdom goes, no, 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 we're not going to do this. No, 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 see? Yeah, in that case, but in that case, one of them, he had to go cast a devil out. And only then was that person able to hear. See, man's wisdom would be teaching them, what would we do? We'd either buy them a hearing aid or we'd send them to sign language school. And that's not, I mean, that's okay, but that's flatlander thinking. That's flatlander operation, see? And it's the best humanity has, and it's not horrible. But I'm telling you right now, God has a higher method than hearing aids, CNI dogs, and all of that stuff. How about the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk? How about the I watch our soldiers come back, and I thank God for these companies with the prosthetic legs and everything. I don't think Jesus would do it that way. I think they would get new legs. I think they would get new legs, and I think they're going to get new legs. Gary, you're starting to talk crazy now. Thank God. Thank God. They thought Jesus was mad. They thought he was beside himself. Paul said, I'm beside myself. No, I'm not beside myself either. Okay, one more here. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Is this okay? Now, here's another one. To restore hearing and speech to a mute. This guy can't hear and he can't talk. What do I do, God? What do I do? See, we don't, I wish we were, I know God gave us everything we need, but myself personally, I wish that we had some record of those prayers that Jesus would pray. He'd go all night. He'd go off on the mountain and be all night with God. Boy, don't you wish we had some record of what those prayers were. But if he's operating like we're functioning, he didn't function as God, even though he is God in the flesh, he didn't function as God. He had to get wisdom from God, just like we have to get wisdom from God. He had to know what to do, like we have to know what to do. Well, here he had a case with a person that was deaf and dumb. And that the wisdom that come back, the wisdom is, take him to a solitary place, put your fingers in his ears. I'm going to practice here. I'm not going to really do this, thank God. Take him to a solitary place, put your fingers in his ears, actually in the ears, spit. Now, your fingers are in his ears. And it says, spit and touch his tongue. I'm not going to go any further with this illustration. You read it for yourself. I'm telling you. And then command him to be loosed. And his hearing will be restored and he'll be able to speak plainly. I'm beginning to see where the problem is. I'm beginning to understand my flatlander, linelander brain. My intellect, the guy who really can't even know the things. That guy there can only obey. He can't really understand. He can only obey, see. I'm having a good time. Are y'all having a good time? Yes, sir. Hang on a minute. I'm doing my best to follow him through these things because these are old things, but they're new things. They're becoming new again. As we follow the wisdom that comes from above to do what we can do, and that's the thing that he kept emphasizing when he was teaching me this lesson. If you'll watch Jesus closely, he didn't do anything supernatural. What he did was things that any human could do. What I mean is the instructions were like, well, spit. How many of you can spit? Don't do it, but how many can? We can all spit, can't we? We could spit on the ground. We could make clay. We could put it on a man's eyes. We can say, go wash. In other words, everything that he, put your fingers in the ears, spit again, touch the spittle on the tongue. Everything that he was asked to do was not something supernatural. It was something natural. But see, somehow that released that power of the Holy Spirit. Until the Holy Spirit moves, no ministry has taken place. Yes. Let's say it another way. Until the Holy Spirit moves. See, He's moving now, even on your mind. Can you tell? Okay, but it's only as the Spirit moves that kingdom business happens. See, I could teach 1,000 lessons. Trust me, He knows me. I've got 1,000, more than 1,000 lessons in here. I could just start pulling them off the shelf. But any of them that I did other than the one I did tonight would not be anointed. My job is to follow Him best I know how. And by doing that, I loose Him upon your mind. Because He knows you. He knows each and every one of you. He knows who's here. And He knows how to say it in a way that'll get each and every one of you somehow. And I think He's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
You know? But see, that wisdom, as we follow the wisdom that comes from above to do what we can do, He's never yet, everything that He... Put your finger in the woman's mouth. I can do that. I don't want to do that, but I can do that. And as I really got to looking at the things, how Jesus would function. Now, other than walking on the... I started to say walking on the water, but even then, all He was asked to do was step. Yeah. See, it's not His job to keep Himself afloat. Have you ever really read that story? He's praying. He tells them to go ahead and take the boats across to the other side. So everybody's gone but Him. Then it's time to go. Now, I wish we had this part in writing. But I'm just trying to meditate through it. He's there. Prayer time is over. No button. There's no boats. What now? Take a step. What would Fathead say? That's water. But if God says take a step, you take a step. Then you take another step. And this is what I keep seeing. You read it for yourself, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Everything He did, anybody could do as far as touch, spit, say, put fingers, walk, this, everything was. The supernatural part was done by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
We are the agents of authority. Yes, sir. Okay, yes, sir. That's it. We are the agents of authority. The Holy Spirit is the agent of power.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to remind you again of that last night where we had, for 30 years, Jesus walked through His hometown. There had to be sick people, blind people, poor people. He is compassion. He is love with legs. I can't imagine what it was like for Him to have to walk right by the beggar, walk right back. Well, let's say the blind person, the lame person. And just have to walk by, not be able to do anything. Maybe He could give them some money. You could do that, but couldn't heal them. And that's the operative thing. He didn't because He couldn't. And then it dawned on me one day, the Holy Spirit is also everywhere. The Holy Spirit is the raw molecule changing power of God. I mean, He is, man, He can open blind eyes. Everything that we want is within Him. And He also, if you'll allow me, has to walk through Nazareth right by the blind person, the lame person, the leper. And He cannot do anything about it either. Because the first Adam was still reigning, if you will. And it's only after Jesus was baptized by John, committed Himself, I'm going all the way to the cross. God looked on His heart, the gavel came down in heaven. Might as well have said, the first Adam is dead, long live the last Adam, this is my son. Then the Holy Spirit united up with God the Son. Now we have the last Adam once more with dominion of the Holy Ghost. And from that point on, and then He had to defeat the devil. From that point on, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Then that same one, as he's leaving, he turns to us and says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. The works that I do, shall you do also. Greater than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. We are coming in to that time of the church. Our mind has been renewed. We don't think about sin the way the world does. We don't think about abortion the way the world does. We don't think about a lot of things. Our minds have been renewed in many ways. But still, for the most part, our thinking has remained fairly natural when it comes to what's possible. But all this time, Dave has been, who knew Dave was right this whole time? God gave us a teacher from another realm to teach the real us how to function here with power that is from there. And our servant has to get down off the horse. The mind, the intellect has to get down off of the horse. And if, bless God, the Lord says, stick your finger in the lady's mouth, that nice lady, you stick your finger in the mouth or you spit on the tongue, you do whatever it takes, whatever he says. But it is going to bring power from that realm to this realm. How many of you are going to pray just a little bit more? Fast a little bit more, meditate a little bit more. And let me put it to you this way, become obedient a little bit more. I'm encouraging you not to be so fearful. Be willing to make a mistake. Okay, we've all taken our trips to the barber shop. We've all, you know, I thought I missed it for 5 years with that one. And there has been times, I'm sure, where I have missed it. Well, gee, duh, welcome to the club. You're fallible. Hey, hallelujah. But that's no reason to quit. See, that's only pride. Just get back in there, pray some more. You'll learn. You'll learn. You know, people learn as much from my mistakes as when I get it right. So let's press on. I think that's it for tonight. Hallelujah. Is that good stuff? Man, I love this stuff.
And that's some of the best stuff I've ever heard.
I get all that. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. My God.
Hey, I want to say something.
Yes,
else.
Sir.
I know this guy loves me so much, and you guys do too, and I appreciate that. He's in a position that I don't like for him to be in. He's always got to like take up an offering. I want to tell you guys, they already gave me enough at Ocala. All my expenses already covered. We're not doing this every night trying to milk you again for another offering, okay? But there's some people here tonight that maybe haven't been here at another time. So don't think that you have to give in each one of these. You hear me? If you don't give anything, I'm good. They already gave me more money than it's, you know, my rental car and everything. But they're paying the motel. I'm good. All right, just let you know.
Do you love somebody like that? That just makes me want to give them more right there. If you haven't given, here's an opportunity. If you don't have anything tonight, go down to Lake Trafford tomorrow. The first gator that you find, open his mouth. Reach in there.
That's not God. She says. That's not God.
I remember reading about or hearing about Smith Wigglesworth. He's probably more than once. Now you better know it's God. But punch people in the stomach? Gary said, thank God he hadn't told me that yet. But cancers would come out of them. All kinds of stuff. Boy, we're going to have a service Sunday. I'm just kidding. There's been things I think I've been hearing for a long time. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to see what's God, what's Bronk. A lot of people staying home. You just come and just watch. You don't have to come forward. Praise God. Rex, what's that? It's okay to make a mistake. Yeah. Find out how many lawsuits we get. All right. Did you have a good time? Praise God. Let's give the Lord a great big hand. Amen. We will have some baskets up here, and his expenses have been paid. But we've been on Friday nights for about as long as the prayer center and Tulsa almost, for how many years they've been doing calling in the lost. We have a confession on Friday nights. You have yours on Sundays. I think you, when you're there a lot of times, you do that. You do one of our confessions is we have more than enough to pay the way for many to come and for many to go in a godly fashion, a more than enough kind of fashion. So We appreciate Gary telling us that expenses have been paid, but we want him to go back not as a fathead, but fatly blessed. Hallelujah. So, Father, bless this. We thank you, and we give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for the word. So much appreciated, Holy Spirit. So now, in Jesus' name, be blessed. Amen. We'll see you tomorrow night. And this is available. Amen.